Hello, friends. Welcome to season 2 of Collective Language, a podcast recorded and produced at Collective Focus Resource Hub in Brooklyn, New York. We've been getting to know some of our volunteers through meaningful conversations where we talk about food, struggles, communities, and life on Earth. Just like our first season, this one is made with love, and we hope you enjoy every moment of it. New episodes are coming out every Tuesday until the end of the year. Without further ado, let's get into episode 1.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Collective Language. Today we have a very beautiful guest here. Could you tell us your name?
Hi, my name is Georgina.
How are you doing today, Georgina?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a good start today.
Cool. I'm glad you're here with us today, for real. Could you start with your pronouns?
My pronouns are she, her.
And how did you get to New York?
I was born here. I'm a native New Yorker.
Wow, a native. Nice. It's so cool. And how did you get to Collective Focus?
I actually live in the neighborhood, and I kept passing by when things were getting started, and I noticed the change in this area. And I was very curious. I kept seeing the murals go up, and the feeling of the area changed. It went from like a drag, dark kind of spot to this like really great positive energy. Every time you would turn the corner, you kind of would feel it, like it would hit you. And I was just so curious. One day I was passing by and there was a group of people outside painting flowers on the on the wall.
Yeah.
And there was a sign in the window that said they were looking for school supplies. And my nephew actually just finished high school, and every year I will buy his school supplies. So I wanted to continue, but I wanted to donate it to someone, but I didn't know who I can give them to. And when I saw the sign, someone actually saw me looking at it. It happened to be Bree, and she introduced herself.
Okay.
And she asked me if I would like to see the space, and she brought me inside and gave me a tour and told me what Collective Focus was about and what they wanted to do for the community. I came to the open house next week, and I've been volunteering for the last 2 years.
Oh, so that was kind of by the beginning, right?
Of the space. I think they were already here for a little bit.
Okay.
I probably started like almost 6 months, year since when they first opened up. Yeah.
And you live in the neighborhood,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm actually a block away from
Oh, wow. That's so cool. That's really cool. So that means you, since you're a native person, you have seen this space since the very beginning. Like, what was going on before? Like, because you mentioned that it was dark, and like, what do you mean by that?
The field, this corner, it was a lot. This whole block was a lot of buildings that were kind of abandoned.
Okay.
And they were like storefronts that weren't being used. They were abandoned.
Okay.
But the feeling, you know, I the only way I can describe it is when you're walking down the street and then you get to a spot and you get this like feeling where it feels heavy. Like it could be a bright sunny day, but it feels heavy.
I feel you. Yeah.
And this stretch was always like a heavy, like dank stretch. And then out of nowhere, the walls went white. Then there was color.
Yeah.
And then I thought at first that it was the painting that made the change. But later on, I realized it was the people that made the change. It was so much good that was being done in this space, in such a small space, that you felt it when you walked down the street. When you got to that certain spot on the corner, that heaviness that you would feel, you didn't feel that anymore. It felt light and springy and happy. And I think that's what drew me in, because I never really walked this way, but my routine changed. And I started coming this way, and I realized it was the building, because I was so curious, but I didn't know, like, I didn't just want to walk inside because I saw the sign, Collective Focus, but I didn't understand what that meant.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people always come like, what's going on here?
You mm-hmm.
know? Yeah, I'm so glad, like, because you're so involved now. I feel like since I started here, I see you all the time, for real. And that's really beautiful. Like, even today when I wanted to schedule with you, you were already coming here, so let's do this, yeah. So tell us a little about what you do. Like, what's your career? What do you do weekly? Like,
I work for a car service. I've been working with this in the accounting department. I've been working in accounting for this car service for this year, made 15 years.
Wow, it's a long time.
Yeah,
you're probably such a good worker.
It's a family owned business. It's a small business, but does big work. And I've been working with this group of people for a long time. COVID really kind of split us up because my job went 100% remote.
Yeah.
And when you're working with the same people for 15 years, yeah, it's like, that's your second family. So it was a big adjustment for me starting to work from home.
I see. Yeah, that's a long time to create bonds and to know people better than mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm so glad you have that, like that work. It sounds very nice to connect with these people.
I'm lucky. I get to work with my sister.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. She's been working there for 20 plus years.
You have one sister? How many sisters?
Yes, I have an older sister.
Okay.
And yeah, she's been working there for 20. She actually brought me in.
I see.
when the stock market dropped and everybody was losing their jobs, yeah, I worked in fashion.
Oh, wow.
I worked for Liz Claiborne. I was a junior colorist there for the golf line, for like the women's line.
Okay.
And I started out as an assistant and then I became a junior colorist. And then the recession hit and I lost my job and I was going to interviews and I was sitting next to people who were in the industry 20, 30 plus years and they were taking entry level positions.
Yeah.
And it was so hard. You were getting the entry. I was going for entry level positions, but there was people in the room that they had 20 plus years experience. So I just couldn't get back into the field.
Yeah. It
was really hard.
I bet it was tough. I wasn't living in the country, but I always hear stories about those days. And it sounds like it was pretty hard.
The best thing I did was I took like maybe after I did like tons of like interviews and just trying to find something and it was taking a big toll. I took probably like 2-3 months and just of a break, and I have to attest my family to being able to do something like that, my mom especially. And then my sister, she's like, we have an opening, come interview. And I've been working there ever since.
Nice. That's very cool. That's a very nice story how you got there too, like during that crisis. So how's your community involvement? Like, how are you involved here in the community, would you say?
I think my community involvement before the collective was little to none.
Okay, I see.
And
I feel the same, by the way.
Yeah. And I feel like it was something that I was missing that I didn't know that I needed to do. You see the problems in your area and you don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's trying to vote to fix things.
Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to be being a good person and being a good neighbor to try to fix things. And then when I came across the opportunity here to actually hands-on help people in my community and be a change, I didn't realize it was something that it was that I needed for myself to do and that I was missing. So I think before the collective, my community involvement was very low. And I was saying now, like, it's really high. I'm always thinking, what now? What can I do to be more effective in this area that I live in?
Yeah, before Collective Focus, I did here and there a little bit of volunteering. It was nothing like this at all. Like, you know, it would be like very sporadically, like I would do it sometimes. And I feel the same way you feel. Like, once I started here, I start seeing like, this is like real change. It feels like, you know, like real putting something in the community to grow. It's like putting your work there, you know? I agree with you. Like, I feel the same way, for real. I feel like Collective Focus has been this platform for me to start changing things, for real.
Yeah, that's... I agree with you with saying that. Like, I feel like not only have not only have I been able to grow to help the community, but just myself personally, I've been working with so many good, inspiring people that it makes me want to do more, not just this, but in a way other areas. So I feel like it's not, I'm trying to be a good person for my community, but this, the hub is being a good person for me because it's very uplifting.
I feel you for real. So how did you grow up?
I grew up, I would say before I lived up the block from here.
Yeah.
I grew up probably 3 more blocks away. So is really my neighborhood.
Yeah, this is your area for real.
I grew up with, I have a big family.
Okay.
So I grew up mostly with my mom's family, and my mom is 1 of 9.
Wow.
So I have a ton of cousins and aunts, and I grew up where my family is like my aunts and uncles were more like moms and dads. Like I had like a bunch of, I have a bunch of moms and dads.
I see, yeah.
Not just aunts and uncles. And my cousins and my friends, like I had friends, but my cousins were mostly my friends. So I grew up in a big family setting. So I'm used to loud and family holidays and just a lot of, I'm big on family because that's the way.
I love that. Yeah. I feel completely related. My family is very big in both sides. Mom and dad, like my dad has like 5 brothers and sisters, have 5 siblings, and my mom has 6. So we have a very big family as well. So like you say, like I picture holidays because they are loud. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of food. It's fun. And I do miss dad a lot, you know, like from moving there.
Yeah, I do. We don't have that big group as much as we used to before, but I really miss that. Like I just it's like all people who's not used to that, they come in and to them it's like, oh my goodness, this is chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so normal.
Yeah, I feel you. I've been there in that kind of situation. When I bring outsiders that, you know, their family is very small and it's hard to get to. So in this community, how you feel is like the wellness support, like?
Oh, man. There are so many mental health issues. I feel like this community, there's a large number of people with mental health issues. We see it a lot here at the people that come for her services at the hub that are not getting the help they need. The last few years, it feels like it's just more and more. I don't know what's happening. And it's just like people are not getting the mental health that they need. And you see it every day, all day in this area. And it's a big issue. I wish there was more places here that the service was just for mental health.
Okay.
Where people can just go to get help. People can just walk in and go to get the help they need because it's a great need in this community. I think one of the biggest issues is the lack of people getting treatment for their mental health issues here.
Do you think there's a lack of wellness in the community? Like,
I think it's wellness and resources as well.
Like places, right, too.
Yeah, there's not a places for people to go to actually get the help. And there's not many outlets for people to do things. We don't have enough outlets with art and social where people can just go and nice parks. Like sometimes just having a nice park in the area where people can go and sit and be in community. We really don't have enough of those things here. And I feel like if we have a few of those changes, not just services, but just giving people an outlet to express themselves more, we probably would be able to see a change.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people that come into the collective, like as you know, and you know that they're having mental health issues and they just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Sometimes they come in and they just want someone to listen to them.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because we are not therapists.
Yeah.
And we can try our hardest to listen and, you know, give an ear, but we can't give that advice and the next step to tell someone what to do. And it's kind of hard to see sometimes, but sometimes I feel like there's a lot of people in this area that just want to be seen and they want to be heard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people are not being seen.
It's important. And like you said, we do get a lot of that, and it's hard to handle sometimes because like you say, we're not professionals in the area, and there's people who needs, like you said, to be heard.
For real. Yeah, there's a lot of people here that they just want to be heard.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And do you think like your family does wellness practices?
I can say I struggled with some anxiety issues a few years ago, and my family was a big reason why I was able to not only help me seek help, but made sure I was accountable for staying to get help and to make sure they check on me that I stay on the right track.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. So I would say that my anxiety was so bad that it was like to the point where I was having a hard time leaving my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like panic attacks. I couldn't leave the house. And without the help of my family, I don't think I would have been able to not only get past it, but to learn from it and then also get past it. Like, I was at a point where I didn't think that I came across a bad therapist.
Okay.
So I thought therapy wasn't, I can't do this. This is not for me. And without encouraging of my family, hey, you know, you need to try again. And my friends telling me, you need to pray. You need spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
So, and my seeking therapy and letting me know it's no shame in saying, one, you need help, and two, you need medication. And I tell everybody that when I talk about the issues I had with my anxiety and my depression, that without medication, without prayer, and without therapy, I would have never, without those three together, I tried them all separately and they didn't work.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I put all three of them together that it worked for me. So prayer to you could mean meditation.
Yeah.
To someone, it could be meditation. It could be just being in a quiet place, talking to yourself. For me, it means having a conversation with God.
Yeah.
But whatever that means to you, along with finding, it's a hard sometimes to find a good therapist, but I'd say if it takes 100 people for you to talk to, that 101 person may be it, don't give up. So when I put all those three things together, I find that was the most helpful for me. And I always encourage people, don't be afraid to try all three.
So would you say that that's your spiritual practice, right? When you say you talk to God, you pray.
Yes.
That's your spiritual practice, right? You know, I think like maybe you wouldn't even be surprised, but I've actually heard, it happened to me, and I have heard many people who's been in the same situation. They've been with bad therapists, which is like, it's bad, especially if it's your first one, like, because you start losing hope very quickly, and it is tough because you're also spending money on it. You're like, wow, this is not working. But I have heard that from people here even many times.
My first experience, the first time I experienced a panic attack, I didn't know what was happening.
Me neither,
I was outside. I was in an Uber share ride with two strangers.
Oh my God, that's scary.
And I didn't know what was happening. And I just know I needed to get out this car.
Yeah.
And I thank God that the three people that were with me, they actually stayed with me until my mom came.
Oh, wow.
They didn't leave me.
That's so nice.
I went to the hospital, and the first thing the doctor said to me is, what do you have to be anxious about? You're so young. Oh my goodness. And I felt like he made me feel so tiny, and I just felt so bad. And that was the first, he was like, why are you here? Like, what do you have to be anxious about? You're young. Like, what's wrong with you? And that, I felt like it crushed me.
Yeah.
And it made me not want to seek help. And then when I did seek help, I came across a therapist who her idea of therapy was to ask me 20 different ways during our session if I was using drugs.
Oh my God.
Her only concern, and I, and I, I answered her questions. I always, and then it got to a point where I started getting angry. Yeah. And I yelled at her. And I was like, you keep asking me about drug use. And I told you, I don't use drugs. That's not my story. Why do you keep asking me this?
Yeah.
So she started scribbling this long thing in her notes.
Oh, my God.
So our whole session, she would ask me questions. She wouldn't look at me. And she would write the whole time. She never looked at me. And she would just write. And then when I got angry, she wrote a lot. And then she says to me, "Why are you so angry?"
Oh God, this is crazy.
And she so part of
I'm so sorry. For that. Yeah,
I'm sorry that anybody else who has to go see her.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry, and I wish then I would have known that I could have reported her.
Yeah.
Or I could have said something, and. So she, after every session with her, I had to take a urine test. And so I didn't understand why, so I asked the nurse, I said, I'm not saying I'm not going to take it, but I want to know. I was like, why do I have to keep taking the urine test after every session? And she was like, oh, because your doctor is saying that she wants to make sure that you're not using drugs.
That's so crazy.
And it was like her only in her head, I felt like her only thing was someone who's having anxiety and panic attacks, it has to be caused by drug use. It couldn't be anything else. So once I stopped seeing her, I did go a stretch without seeing anybody, and my anxiety and panic attacks got even worse.
Yeah.
But when I found a therapist who was engaging, when I walked in her office, she reminded me of a grandmother. She was a 5'4", she was like 5'11".
Okay.
This beautiful Spanish woman. And she nice. Was like maybe in her 50s or 60s. No, I didn't say maybe in her 60s. And I walked in her office and the first thing she said to me was, "No one ever died from a panic attack. You're going to be okay. And we're going to figure this out together." And I was like, oh my goodness, like where were you the last year and a half?
Yeah.
And I got a lot of help from her. And I also, after I stopped seeing her, I saw a male therapist, and he was a Black male. And I felt like even though I related to her and she was good for me, he understood me a little more.
Okay.
And I wish that there were more Black male therapists that there's accessible.
Okay, I see. I see what you mean.
But it was great. I learned a lot. I never found out what was the cause of my anxiety and my what caused my panic attacks and anxieties. But I'm just happy that it's always there. It never leaves you, but it's not taking over my life.
Yeah, now you can control it for sure. It's scary to me to think about that first therapist, like you said, that she's going to treat other people. And also what's the scariest part to me is that this person is supposed to be a professional. So they already went to college or whatever. And it's like how you went all those years through like school and this you for the outcome, you just think about drugs, think about this, and you don't know like what did you study? What is this? You know, it's scary. Scary world for real. Regarding your eating habits, like how do you think they are being promoted here in the area? How do you?
Recently, in the summertime, I went to the supermarket with my mother, and I wanted some fruit. So I picked up two mangoes. I picked up some fresh corn, a container of strawberries, two bags of dried beans, and maybe some blueberries. And my total was $22.
Wow.
And I just looked at my mom and I said, people can't afford this.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't afford to spend $22 on this is not a meal. This is something I want for healthy snacks.
Yeah.
I'm like, people can't afford this.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, it's sad that.
It's overwhelming too.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And I think, if I didn't volunteer here doing distros and food drops, I wouldn't have as much fresh fruit and vegetables in my home as I should. Because it's just really, it's really expensive. I know everyone is feeling it. And I go to the supermarket and sometimes I look at things like I want to buy a container of strawberries or I want to buy cherry. Cherries are my favorite fruit. And I haven't had cherries. This is the second summer that I haven't had cherries. Because the last time I brought cherries, they were $8.99 a pound. And they weren't organic. I was like, if I was going to organic, which another thing, if organic is better for you, I don't understand why it's so much money.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even organic cherries. And I love cherries so much. And it was such a small bag. And they wanted $8.99 a pound for cherries.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I refuse to pay.
I feel you. Yeah, of course.
I refuse. And I wish that that everybody had more access to fresh fruit, fresh vegetables as a daily thing. It shouldn't be... Sometimes it shouldn't be. It should be every day. This is our go-to.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's cheaper to buy things frozen.
Yeah.
Than to buy it fresh.
I think also like one big issue that Andrea's been like talking to me about it is that in the United States, at least not all the countries do this, but I know the United States does it. Is that there is access to food in supermarkets, like to fruit. For like every fruit all the year when it should be seasonal, you know, like we have seasons for fruits. Mm-hmm. Then when we force the market to have like, for example, strawberries the whole year when that's technically not possible, you know, it's crazy because people want their strawberries the whole year. They don't want to wait the next season to have it, you know. It gets complicated and it's like, to me, like the food access, it like you just said, improved to me when I start coming to the hub too, like start getting more fruits, start getting more food. And the food we get here is very healthy. Like I really like what I get here. And it had changed my life for the better, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really tough. The prices keep going up for the food and I don't know what to do about it, to be honest.
And that's the thing. Everything is going up around us. Yeah. It's scary because everything going to the supermarket, it's really... You really have to make choices.
Yeah.
And sometimes the choices are not always the best. You have to choose having something processed over something fresh only because it's going to last you longer and it's going to cost less. And it's sad that's how things are. You can get a meal at a fast food restaurant and spend less money than buying dinner at the grocery store.
Yeah, this is scary. Regarding your consumption, when we talk about media, do you consume any type of media? It could be like podcasts, TV, movies, social media, books.
I watch television, but I honestly watch less television than I've ever done before in my life.
Okay.
I used to be a really big news junkie.
Oh, wow.
I used to love to be, I feel like I need to be informed.
Yeah.
I need to know what's going on, but too much news affects your mental health.
They do.
Too much news, our news here in America is very negative.
Yeah.
Everything is just so negative, and it's repeated and it's bombarding, and so now I limit myself unless it's something like big that's happening. I get the gist of it and I get out, and I watch enough so I'm informed.
Yeah,
but. When the images, as soon as I feel like it's too much, I turn away.
Yeah,
that's it.
It can be overwhelming.
Maybe I can pull up the article and read it online instead of watching it because I don't want the images. And I honestly just started listening. I'm a big sports fan.
Okay, sports?
I love sports.
Wow.
I'm a huge sports fan.
What's your favorite?
I was a Jets fan, but I am a Yankees fan.
Oh, wow.
And I love wrestling. I've been a fan of wrestling since I was 8 years old. Yes.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a huge wrestling fan, but I love baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport.
Okay.
I like football. I can watch any team. I don't really have a favorite team anymore. I can watch. And I can watch hockey. I can follow the game.
Yeah.
But I don't have like a favorite team. But I love competition. I love anything with competition.
That's so cool.
And so I watch a lot. I started watching a lot of sports podcasts.
Oh, wow.
I watch, I love Pat McAfee because Pat McAfee did, he was in wrestling for a little bit and then he left to go back to doing, college football. So okay. I love Pat McAfee show. I find it, I like humor. So I love Pat McAfee show and I love the New Heights podcast. And I just started watching It Is What It Is. And that's kind of more, it's two rappers and they're now into sports podcasting.
Okay.
So they bring humor and then they bring talk of the rap world and then into sports. And I like that.
Really great idea.
And I like, I watched the, it's a podcast from London called Shits and Gigs.
Okay.
And I absolutely love those two guys. They make me laugh so hard. Kev on Stage and Angel have a podcast. I've watched a few episodes, but I can't remember the name of their podcast.
Okay.
So I kind of like float through and I watch. And I like to watch them on YouTube because I like not only like to listen, I like to see the interaction.
I see. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah. So that's my favorite when you get to see the interaction.
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of... I watch that. That's like fun to decompress. And sometimes... Music, I love, like, my favorite playlist is, like, smooth 80s or 80s rock.
Like, let's go,
or,
yeah.
Like, anything 80s music. If I'm not listening to 80s music, I'm listening to 90s R&B.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, so usually when I'm
vintage.
I'm working, I have on, like, I'll put on 90s R&B.
Nice.
If I'm not watching, like, a podcast or, like, if I feel like just singing, like, some old songs, I'll put on, like, some 80s music and...
Cool. So how do you feel like all this media you consume affects you? Like, would you say positively or negatively? Like,
I can say both. Say both because one, we need to be informed. And now you can get media from so many different places.
Yeah.
You're not just seeing one side of a coin. You can get a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
And I like that because then with a bunch of different perspectives, you can then form a better opinion
exactly.
for yourself. Instead of just watching something and saying, this is fact.
This is it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. This is all.
Yeah.
If you allow yourself to listen to every different side, then you can come up and find and have your own perspective. So I like that we can get media from different places, but just you have to know your balance. Knowing your balance and what's good for you, knowing when to turn that TV off, knowing when to stop scrolling, knowing when to just cut yourself off. You have to learn the balance because it can become overwhelming really fast.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's a lot. Like you're in a positive, you're getting a lot of information, but then in a negative, you're getting a lot of information.
Yeah. I see.
And it can become overwhelming really fast. So knowing you have to know your limits, know what you're watching. And if I feel like something is affecting me negatively, like if it's something I'm scrolling, even if it's like on my Instagram, I'm not big on TikTok.
Okay.
I like Instagram. Like I'll look at the reels on Instagram, but I don't know why TikTok it's just like too fast. It's just
TikTok is very high paced.
It's very,
it's
just too much for me.
Yeah.
I like Instagram, and if I find that something is affecting me negatively or I feel like I had a negative reaction, I immediately stop following and let it go. I no longer want that coming through because I don't want other, because when you stop and watch something,
the algorithm
start sending you more and more. So I can stop.
Found a good solution, which is that, you know? That's very good. You take the problem from the root.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so amazing. We're going to go now with the $1 million questions. Yay! So let's start with the first one. Do you feel like when you're working, let's say, for the community, do you work better when you are in comfort or when you are in a struggle?
Oh, wow. I feel like when I'm in comfort, I think I work better when I'm okay, I feel like I can give the best of myself.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I think for me, it would definitely be in comfort.
Amazing. Yeah, it makes sense. Would you prefer couch hopping versus queen size bed?
Definitely queen size bed.
Yeah, right.
I like to stretch out and be all over the place. Yeah, definitely queen size bed.
Nice. And low budget versus large budget.
Oh wow! It all depends. Because
I see you. I have seen you making magic with low budget.
I say my superpower is penny shopping. I would say I can make it work on a low budget.
Yeah,
I don't need a high budget. I can make it work on a low budget.
I can speak to that. It's completely true. I have seen
my superpower is definitely discount shopping and penny shopping, and taking what you have and making something better.
Yeah, I love that from you. And you do it like so good. Like when I see your creations from all the small budget that you did, I was like, Georgina did this? That's so amazing. That's so cool. For real, you have a very, like, that's your superpower. You're right. Okay, is there anything you will tell to your younger self?
I would just go back and give her a big kiss and said, it's gonna be great. It gets great. Like, it gets great. It's not perfect, but it gets great.
That's so cute. Yeah. That's very like hopeful too, you know? I feel like when sometimes like we've really felt so overwhelmed, and over time we realize it's actually gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have anyone that you want to shout out?
Oh, okay. Besides all my Hub family, I love each and every one of you.
We love you too.
You guys definitely inspire me to be better, to do more, and I love that. My sister, my mom, my nieces and nephews.
Big family.
So many. and just my friends for always taking the time to listen to me talk about the Hub. If there's three things that I won't shut up about, is wrestling, penny shopping, and collector focus.
Wow.
So for all my friends and family that listen, that lend a helping hand, who applaud the work we do. I want to shout out my Aunt Sheila. My Aunt Sheila.
Auntie.
Every post, everything we do at the Hub, she always finds a way. She doesn't like and share. She contributes. And she just recently, for the YouTube video that we put out, she saw it and she's like, I'm so proud of you all. And she was like, I gave a donation to the,
so cute.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I just definitely want to shout out my Aunt Sheila for all. My family is very supportive. I just really want to shout out my Aunt Sheila for all the support she gives.
Thank you, Ashil. Thank you, everybody in the family. Thank you, everybody supporting us. We really appreciate it. Thank you, the listeners, and your host, Johan, today.
Johan, for having me.
Yeah, for sure. That was amazing. I love this. Do you want to say anything else?
Oh, I just want to say thank you, everybody. Continue to support A Collective Focus. If you can volunteer, come down and just see what we're about. Spend a day with us. I promise you, you'll be like me and you'll never leave.
I love that. I second that. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.